You have to break some things that are very painful, and one of those is your ego.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to Creator Confos, the podcast where creators share their stories, habits, and goals. If you don't know me, hi, my name is Steven from the YouTube channel Steven Makes Videos. I make videos over there about the video making process. And today, I'm not my usual setting. I am not even in my state. Today, I'm in Arizona. Let's talk to our guest, Ruben. Where are we today?
Valentine, Arizona, population 32. So with you guys here, we're at 34.
Yes, we've increased the population by multiple percentage. And I'm here with Angel, too.
Hi.
We all know him from the first episode of this podcast and over on his YouTube channel. And he's been on mine quite a lot. So can you please describe what you do out here?
Well, how'd we meet, though? I mean,
should we get into that? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. How do I even know you? Did I just let you in my house? What
happened? That's right. I was walking down Route 66, and yeah, no, but I was at a Think Media meetup in Ferguson's downtown. It was the same one where I met Rudy, who I had on a few episodes ago, and we met, and I think the first thing you said to me was like, I don't know, but it was caught my attention. Yeah.
I think we're all introverts, and I saw him being like me, kind of introverted. I mean, he was there, so 100% props, but I was like, I'm going to go talk to that guy. He seems like he doesn't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
So, no, and you seem very relaxed and calm, and then I didn't know if you were part of the Think Media team or anything, and then so I drove there from here, this location, Valentine, and it's like, hey, I need to talk to people. I'm not comfortable with it or anything, but I just felt, say hi. What's the worst you could say? You know, just punch me in the face. You didn't punch me in the face. And then we just chatted a little bit. I gave you my card, which felt awkward because I don't give out cards or stuff much, but it's like, hey, let's be friends.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And then I think I hit you guys up on Instagram since then. Mm-hmm. Maybe like, what's up? And that's about it.
Yeah. And Angel was there too, also with Romani, who was on the podcast. Man, we've had like everyone on the podcast by now. I'm running out of people. Well, I want to get your opinion. This is our first time coming out here today. How does it feel out here? Can you describe what it's like or something?
So honestly, immediately, I've always mentioned this, it feels like a 50s like movie right here. I like it a lot, but it's really cool because it's definitely different than what I'm used to, because we're used to Las Vegas being the mm-hmm. big city. And whereas with here, it's like a small town, and they have a lot of cool antiques, and it's just like, it feels home here. It feels like very warming, very welcome to like anybody who wants to pass by, who they're going from state to state, like on a road trip, they can stop right here real quick. And you know, they feel welcome that Ruben is here to welcome in and, you know, give him some hospitality.
Yeah. And it's like, what's nice about it is it's right on historic Route 66. So if you're, not sponsored, but if you are like coming down Route 66, doing that whole trip, you can stop right here. Where are we?
Well, Valentine, we're 25 miles outside of Kingman. I guess Kingman is the biggest town, and Kingman bills itself as the heart of Route 66. And what they're trying to say is, this strip, it's the longest continuous stretch at 166 miles from, Needles thereabouts to Ash Fork, and so we're kind of smack dab in the middle. I'd like to say the heart in Valentine, but Kingman claims that they're the heart, you know.
Valentine heart, that makes sense, right?
Yeah, we'll give it to him though, you know. You're loved in Valentine. that's what I want people to know.
That's good. I like that. Yeah. So now, one thing we were talking about is how this Creator Convos, but I just really thought you had an interesting story. I'm living out here, and I just wanted to talk to you about this. And you do create some content. You're on Instagram. What else do you do?
Yeah. So I met you at the YouTube meetup, and I just wanted to reference that because it's I fully intended to 100% just talk about Valentine Station, create content for that. And that's definitely what I'm going to do. But since then, unfortunately, COVID has happened. And I realized I have an opportunity to help people with some other content. So I've kind of shifted gears a little bit, and I'm going to try to produce that, bring that up first. I will still definitely do a lot of Route 66 stuff, but my passion will be just letting people know how they can build a greenhouse cheaply, showing them the process from start to finish, and then showing them, you know, how economical and affordable it can be if they have any desire to grow their own food or anything like that. And then I've learned, I guess maybe that's called a tent pole, right? That coming trend and something we could capitalize on or something. So unfortunately, food scarcity now may be an issue. And as unfortunate as it is, I don't know if you guys have been shopping, but maybe you never thought we would go to the store and see nothing there. Mm-hmm. Or products that we could readily get. So I realized, like, hey, I've already built this greenhouse for myself. I could show other people how to do it. That's something valuable. Now, I'm not a gardener by any sense. I don't have any super green thumbs. I'm just a guy that can build some stuff that may help some people. So I realized, like, try to do that, you know, try to show people that, then show them Route 66 stuff. And then also, I mean, it's okay to be real here and truthful, right? Like, yeah. This is scary. You know, this is scary stuff. Like, I don't like being on camera. Like, I don't like, you know, that's why I like Angel's content, because it's like, hey, you know, if you fix this or whatever, feel good about yourself, you know? And it's like, okay. So for some reason, gardening, it's like, oh, I don't have to be in a perfectly clean press shirt. I don't have to be perfectly shaved, my contacts or whatever, you know, I don't know. So for some reason in my silly mind, it gave me permission to make bad videos, you know, and Sean says your worst are your first. Well, let's bring it on. We're going to make some awful greenhouse videos and then hopefully some better Route 66 videos and then, you know, better content there after that. But, I'm just excited that, you know, I'm on this journey and then I got to meet you guys and, you know, and you guys are on it also.
Mm-hmm. I like how you said you don't like being on camera. To be honest, I don't like being on camera either.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you? Two out of three at least?
When I first started YouTubing, honestly, it wasn't so much being on camera that bothered me. It was hearing my voice. Yeah. I was like, is that what I sound like to everybody? You know what I mean? So that's definitely like something that you have to get used to. And as you, and like you mentioned, your first couple of videos are going to suck. Yeah. And my first videos, they suck. Yeah. And but now that I can like, but when you look back on your first videos for your current videos, you see that progress. You see like the huge difference it makes and you see how much of a journey you've been on, how you've improved.
Yeah. It was great going to that event because I was like, oh, these are all introverts like me, you know? And then coming home, it's like no excuses. Like, and that's what I gotta think. You know, Sean and Heather and the whole team for Think Media is putting on these events because it'd be very easy for them to not do it, be uber successful and have that time to focus on their own ventures. But thank you guys for putting on this thing to allow people like us to come together. And then it's like, hey, you're doing this. And then I've learned a lot from you, Steven, a lot from you, Angel, just by the content you put up. Rudy also, you know, Romani. And it's like, it's hard to describe, but in knowing like, hey, I've met those people. Mm-hmm. Those are real people. You know, it's something powerful in that, you know, takes away excuses, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It really does. And Rudy's episode is linked down below. We really have had everyone on the podcast. Yeah. Link down here. Check it.
We're learning. Yeah. How to do this. Link down below. Point down.
You can tell we're all content creators, right? Yeah. Comparatively, I found these these interviews were a lot easier to do over Zoom, where it's like, you know, when recording a podcast episode, I literally had my phone and then my computer was logged in and just to record. And it for some reason, it felt so much better. And another thing, like,
do you want to go now? Is that
what?
It?
No. But another thing It's like when we two, when we're hanging out, you said it was mostly your voice, right? Because you're definitely the one who, like, is on camera, I've noticed. And I'm curious. No, I'm not. Wait.
Because the thing is that when it comes to that, is like, it's for different reasons. Everyone has their own, like, little reason that they don't want to be on it. Because when you make a video, what's the first thing you look at? Not everybody look at yourself first. Mm-hmm. You're saying, like, oh, do I look dumb? Do I look out of place? Do I look, like, proper? Am I having a good time? Like, you always look at yourself. And, you know, that's kind of human nature. You want to see that we're not embarrassing ourselves. But the thing is that, like, once you make those bad bunch of videos and you let yourself be embarrassed many times, it kind of becomes to the point where, like, you're allowed to make mistakes and you're allowed to make those errors. Then you make some amazing content because now your real personality shows. Mm-hmm. Because when you first start making videos, you almost put on a front, like, I'm Mr. Perfect. But as Ruben mentioned, is that when you allow yourself to not be Mr. Perfect, like, you allow yourself to understand that I am making mistakes, I don't know everything, and it's okay to not know everything, you just kind of press the record button and just start going. And then once you start getting the momentum going, you can't stop, and mm-hmm. you're just, like, full throttle all the way.
Yeah, that was a huge motivator for me. It was realizing that it's okay to not know everything. It's okay to be a little dumb, for lack of better words, because, like, if you just, like, try and learn everything at once, there was this guy named Darius Britt. I saw him speak live about this thing called video head syndrome, where it's like you watch a whole bunch of videos and you think you know something by the 9th or 10th video that you watch on a topic, and then you try the thing and all that knowledge just goes out your head. Completely gone. And that's like the Dunning-Kruger effect in full effect. And that was my biggest hurdle, was getting over that. I'm sorry, are you aware of the Dunning-Kruger effect? I just kind of, like, say it and some people are like, what?
Well, what's the Dunning-Kruger? Give me a short little recap.
Okay.
No, I'm not
yeah.
officially aware. So.
Okay, so the Dunning-Kruger effect is basically like a beginner's false perception of their confidence.
Where they overestimate their abilities.
Yes, where they overestimate their abilities. I've put it in a few YouTube videos where it's just like, you know, right when you start out, it's like a plot of, like, where Y is, like, actual self-perception of skills and confidence. The X-axis is actual experience. It's like up here at the top, beginners think they're really good because they don't know what they don't know. And then you get down to this, like, valley of despair where you realize just how much you need to learn. And then by the time you have, like, a pro expert, it's like up the slope and it's like they're confident appropriately, or like they know what they know. And yeah, that's like where I'm trying to be. And it's just that first part is so scary to me, you know?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I think that's a barrier for a lot of people, myself, especially. And then, unfortunately, to break past that, you have to break some things that are very painful. And one of those is your ego, you know, because oftentimes you're like, oh, I'm good. I got this. And then it's like you learn some stuff and it's like maybe you could do some things better, and you can do two things with that. You can acknowledge that, right, and say, hey, I'm not doing that good. This is where I can improve. Mm-hmm. Or you could just say, that's fake news. That's not true, right? Like, whatever. I'm good. You
deny,
know?
Deny, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I think that's one thing that is very, if I can just give one message to anybody, you know, is self-improvement, self-growth is painful, you know, and just don't lie that it's okay. Just embrace that discomfort. And I guess once in knowing that it's uncomfortable, then it's okay in knowing that you can move forward, you know? Mm-hmm. So
growing pains, seeking discomfort. I wonder how many times I actually mentioned seek discomfort, but it's like, do you know Yes Theory?
No.
Okay. Basically they're a group of content creators based in Los Angeles. They do crazy things like take random people skydiving and stuff like that. And it's like their whole thing is to avoid complacency and to, like, dive into the unknown. Sometimes literally, just last year, they bungee jumped off a helicopter over the Grand Canyon with Will Smith.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's like their whole thing is about seeking discomfort and getting, I don't want to say, like, getting through the uncomfortable part, because, you know, that's not exactly like their brand. Their brand is about, you know, exciting things and not like I don't know.
Well, there's a very popular quote that I've heard that says, growth is like on the other side of discomfort or something thereabouts. So I firmly believe that. And then a lot of that is, I think, in the mindset. And so I'm not so super smart. Like, I mean, I live in a gas station. That was my first job. I mean, yes, I have graduated college, you know, UCSB, go Gauchos. But it takes a long time for the light bulb to turn on, you know. So in reading some books, you know, and then you'll read a book where the light bulb turns on and you're just like, oh, I see. And one of those for me was Mindset by Carol Dweck. And then you see, like, where you limit yourself, how these mindsets that you have limit you. And then it's just like, I don't know, it allows you to grow, or at least acknowledge a truth and then embrace that and grow, or say, you know, this person's stupid, whatever, you know, and then make up, you know, reasons, I guess.
Do you have anything to add on that?
Well, I do want to ask Ruben, because he mentioned that we all three of us are introverts, rather. We're introverts, and so going to those meetups, I mean, it's really helpful, because it's like we need somebody to kind of organize us to be able to, you know, set us up to meet people, because we're not going to do it by ourselves. It's just not in our nature to. There's definitely some pros of being an introvert. There's definitely some cons. For you specifically, like, that's probably seeking discomfort, like getting out of your introvert ways and becoming more of an extrovert. So what would you say is like a con of being an introvert for you, and what would be like a pro for you?
Well, I mean, because we're here, you guys could see. So one funny thing is I just wanted to move out into the country, have some land. I came from a small beach town in California, Ventura, you know, of 100,000 people. But I realized, like, hey, I live on Route 66. People would stop here, take pictures. These people are from all over internationally. So it's like people are here to wanting to talk to me or meet people, you know, have these conversations. As an introvert, before, it's just like, oh no. But then I realized, like, hey, I have the opportunity to speak to these people, share a little bit of knowledge, and then maybe not be a butthead, you know, be real, connect. So it's uncomfortable, but you know, just it allows me to grow also. And then you also get to meet some people. You may be in the presence of some people where it's just like, I don't know what to say, but a little je ne sais quoi, or they're captivating, or the way they're able to speak. And it's just like, wow. And it's like, it shows you, like, hey, maybe I could speak better, or maybe I could present myself better, or maybe I could, you know, and then just meeting people, you know, so... Yeah. I know that I didn't answer the question, and that was
all good. But like, you made some really good points in that, so that's what counts.
Now, a con of being, I guess, a pro of being introvert, it's like, I guess we think a lot, right? We get a lot of ideas. We have these great ideas of stuff that we could do. A con is only we know about them, you know. So I think in going out and meeting each other, it's great. It's great to push each other, you know, and but embrace and celebrate your introvertedness. And see, and this is the thing, is an introvert isn't necessarily 100% introvert, because like, what I mean is, it's like, so I'm an introvert in the sense of like, maybe I don't want to get dressed up all the time, or maybe I'm wanting to be in. Oh, but I definitely have like the dreams of like, oh, I want to earn the money to buy me that super nice tailored suit. And it's like, dude, I want to go out. And it's like, go out in Vegas or the Vegas clubs, but it's like, oh, I don't even know Vegas or Vegas, but now I know my Vegas peeps. So it's like, when we'll reach that point, you know? So, but it's like JT, I think, said it best, is like a suit and tie, right? It's like,
as long as I got my suit and tie.
Yeah.
Oh, copyright.
Man. Oh yeah,
man. Okay. Don't sue me. All right. But, like you mentioned, you get a lot of visitors. First of all, it shocks me how many international visitors you get. We were just up at the general store, and they have windows with like stickers from all sorts of people on them, and there's a wall where they pin up dollar bills, or I guess bills from different currencies. And it's just like shocking how many people from like around the world are interested in this case, like Route 66, but also like my dad works at a shooting range and he gets a lot of European visitors, you know? So it's crazy. I always thought this was more like, I don't know, people who, like national people who just like to get in an RV and kind of drive, you know, like people who, like convert vans and live out of them, which is so awesome, you know, but there's a lot of like tourists now. And I'm wondering where, this is unrelated, but where do you get most of your tourists from? Like, is there any one place?
Yeah. Now at the Hackberry General Store, Bob Waldemeyer, who owned that store a long time ago, I came across some archives where he started documenting of the people that would come through, and he would put little check marks. And then there's since been, you know, a lot of studies, papers and stuff, research. Off the top of my head, Germany is a very high percentage. Oh, Germany. Sorry.
My audio cable just like freaked out.
Germany seems to be a very high percentage. European, Germany, Spain, a lot of Japanese. China is also, there's a lot of Chinese tourists that come over. Yeah, Europe.
I mean, it surprises me that like people from Las Vegas aren't coming down here, because this is an awesome spot. Like even just like in Kingman, there's like a ton of stuff to do too. So it's like, it's a cool area.
Yeah, we'll get a lot of road trippers or day trippers. Mm-hmm. And then they'll come out initially like from Vegas or what have you. And there are people visiting Las Vegas area. And then they'll see, oh, Route 66 is near, mm-hmm. you know, near being 2 hours away.
Yeah.
You know, and then they'll drive out here. Mm-hmm.
I do see, like, some ads for Route 66 stuff in Vegas. And, like, as a local, I'm like, what? That's like halfway to L.A. distance-wise, you know. But then we did that drive for this. And it's like, well, I guess to a tourist, they just kind of want to get all the experiences they can while they're out here or out there, I guess.
Yeah, this was not a bad drive at all, though. Like, honestly, coming here, it felt pretty quick, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Like, I definitely think it's worth it. It's definitely something different because I'm somebody who comes from a big city like Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Well, for us, it's big. But coming here, something small, something more calm, something more like a slower pace. Mm-hmm. Like, it's nice. It's almost like a refresher, something different, you know, because we see casinos all the time. But being able to just see nature, just to enjoy it, just to feel like kind of, I don't know, you feel a little bit peaceful. You feel more mm-hmm. peace in mind. So is that the reason why you like it here in the countryside?
Yeah. Originally, when moving out here, I just wanted to own some land, per se. I really like riding motorcycles, building motorcycles, doing some metal fabrication. And then I rented a shop in California, in a town next to where I lived. And then after seeing, oh, I'm paying rent on the spot, rented the house, you know, at some point I'd like to own something. So I moved out here. It was affordable at the time. This was 06. Medium home price in Ventura was $600,000. Mm. So, and climbing, you know, so I didn't think I could do that. And then overall, turns out I moved into a decent spot. It's on this world famous road, Route 66. Pre-COVID, or a whole bunch of international tourists mm-hmm. would come through here, and national tourists. And for an introvert like me, it was like, wait, I live on a front stage is kind of what I realized. Mm-hmm. So, and people going by.
Yeah. And we are literally right on Route 66. Like, yeah. It is less than 50 feet from us. That way.
Literally.
Yeah, literally. So, if we are in the we are in the gift shop of the Valentine station right now, and we are coming up to the end. The camera record limits are almost there. Do you want to plug anything? Any final plugs, shout-outs, anything you want to say? That's
yeah. No. I mean, I would just like to encourage anyone out there on the journey, you know, as these guys, just don't be afraid. It's uncomfortable. You know, the shortcut is the long way. You know, the long way is the quickest way there. you know, and that's basically it. It's uncomfortable truths, but that's it, you know. And there's so many free resources out there. There's so many places we make excuses we may view as reasons, but when we look a little harder, they're excuses. Mm-hmm. So just shout out, you know, to you guys, you know, for doing this, for putting it out there for people like me, you know, to realize like, hey, I could do this. So thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for making the journey out here, yeah. You know, and then getting to have a little Valentine, you mm-hmm. know, so thank you.
Thanks for having us out here. The drive really drive wasn't bad at all. It was awesome. But I want to thank you guys for watching this. If you're watching it, hi, you can listen to the audio version down below. If you're listening to the audio version, sorry for all the crackling, and check out the video version on YouTube in the link below. We post micro content on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And if you want to come here, basically just take I-11 down and then the state road that goes into Kingman, and then just take Route 66 and you'll be right here from Las Vegas.
Yeah. Valentine Station on Instagram, on Facebook, have a website, valentine-station.com. Some of these signs are up on Etsy. I should get some more up there. I'm trying to migrate this content or the signs onto my own website. So if you don't see them in a little bit, send me some hate comms. telephone works too, landline, you know. Always that. So thank you.
All right. We are really close to being out of time. Thanks for watching. Bye.